Here's a scenario for you to consider. You believe an agency of the government is breaking the law. What do you do? Protest? Do you make a huge step from nonviolent protest to nonviolent disruption? These are the kind of questions we're hearing today in connection with Edward Snowden, with Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. But in 1971, 8 people took that step when they broke into an FBI office in Media, Pennsylvania. The secret files they took and then released to reporters in Congress proved that the FBI had been trampling on the First Amendment rights of ordinary Americans. Their stories told in a compelling new film from director Johanna Hamilton called 1971.
They called themselves the Citizens Commission to Investigate the FBI.
Recent events have given more indication of the extent of government snooping on civilians.
Last month, more than 1,000 documents were stolen from the FBI office in Media, Pennsylvania.
This is the first time these 8 people are telling their story. Among the 8, a woman who grew up in West Michigan and her husband. Bonnie Raines and her husband, John Raines, are with us now from Philadelphia. And we're also happy to welcome director Johanna Hamilton, who joins us from New York. It's so good to have you all with us on Stateside.
Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks for having us.
In your view, Johanna, how significant was the action of these 8 people?
I think it was incredibly significant in ways that, to date, we haven't really fully appreciated. Certainly the media break-in is mentioned in history books of the FBI especially, but it's really telegraphed in 1 or 2 paragraphs. And the great joy of being able to tell this story was really being able to connect all the dots, to reveal the full impact of what these 8 people did. I think it was because they were never caught, they were never found, that this story is not better known. And so, again, it was just a great thrill to be able to finally tell this story.
Bonnie Raines, you grew up in Grand Rapids. What drew you into the anti-war movement?
Well, I guess you could say my activism began with the civil rights movement. My husband and I were active when we were living in New York. And then when we moved to Philadelphia, we quickly became part of the anti-war protests that were going on and were so central in Philadelphia. And we became very active, particularly with part of the anti-war protests that was called the Draft Resistance Movement.
Now, John, your life as an activist, as Bonnie said, you were involved with the civil rights movement. You were actually a freedom rider?
Yes, that's right. I was arrested in Little Rock, Arkansas on July 10th, 1961.
And all of that before the anti-war movement, but more importantly, before you married and became parents of young children. So you really had so much at stake as you were following your consciousness into this anti-war movement.
Well, the war was horrific, and the draft was horrific, and we were determined to try to have our voices heard in Washington to bring that war to an end. But the voices in the peace movement were not listened to, and it was a very frustrating time for all of us.
We didn't want to do what we finally decided we had to do. And the reason we had to do it is because the people that we elected and sent to Washington were not doing their job. J. Edgar Hoover was not only the most feared man in Washington, he was the most popular man in Washington. And nobody in Washington was holding that man responsible or his very powerful institution. He was almost for 5 decades the head of the FBI. We've had nobody as powerful as that since that time. They would not do what we sent them to Washington to do. They would not hold J. Edgar Hoover and his FBI accountable. We had to do it, even though it put our own family in jeopardy, because if we did not do it, it was not going to get done.
And I'm wondering, where did the idea of breaking into that FBI office come from, and the idea of taking files?
The beginning of it was our involvement in the draft resistance movement, where groups of us would break into draft boards in the middle of the night and remove the paper files that were used to draft young men and destroy them and to try to disrupt the war machine. So a logical next step in terms of getting evidence and making a larger impact and getting the truth out was to consider targeting an FBI office. And we were quite sure we would find some very interesting and incriminating documents. And we did.
And you show, Joanna, very skillfully how all of that built and the tension and even the fact that there were 9 people and 1 dropped out. You did a really great job in showing the suspense that went into planning this break-in.
Well, thanks so much. I mean, yeah, it was quite remarkable. I mean, these people trained themselves for this, you know, this heist, essentially, you know, this one-night heist move. You know, I will say also, just to go back to the sort of import of what they did, you know, this was the first time that FBI documents were seen in the public. I mean, they, as you know, we have people who say in the film, historians say, you know, this was, they really cracked the wall of secrecy that existed around the FBI. As John just mentioned, you know, Hoover was both feared and revered in Washington and, you know, sort of in equal measures. And so, you know, really no one dared go up against him until the Citizens Commission to Investigate the FBI did. And this was, you know, the one action of the Citizens Commission to Investigate the FBI. But as it turned out, it was a very well-targeted action. And then, you know, once the heist and the mailing of the documents was complete, you know, they returned to their regular lives. You know, they didn't need accolades. It was really just an accident that really has brought their identities to light. I consider it a very happy accident, but the fact that, you know, John revealed himself to Betty, essentially, 20 years on, was a happy accident.
The night of the heist, what were your roles? Bonnie, what was your role?
We chose the night specifically because it was a world championship boxing match between Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier. And we thought that people in the vicinity of the FBI office would be listening to the fight and perhaps wouldn't pay attention to other things going on around them. So my role on the night of the, I did not go into the office. 4 of us went in with suitcases. I was in a car on a side street next to the building to block a police car if it came around, to pretend that my car had broken down, and I would prevent the police then from pulling around to the front of the building where our people were going to come out.
And as Joanna shows us, you also were Secret Squirrel. You went in there as cool as a cucumber and cased the joint beforehand. And I love the way, Joanna, you used an actress to show us what 29-year-old Bonnie did going in, pretending to interview the director. Bonnie, what was that like for you watching you all these years later doing that?
Oh, it was fun. I got a big kick out of it because I think, first of all, I was sure that bit of casing was the last piece of information that we needed in order to move ahead. So I felt very significantly important in making that happen. And I think a little bit of the actress came out in me, and I don't think I was nervous. And they were not suspicious at all, and I learned what I needed to learn about the lack of any security in the office.
I think that's very interesting and important. It was amazingly easy to break into that FBI office. And the reason is important because it's the arrogance of the FBI back then. It was impossible for J. Edgar Hoover or anybody else in that FBI to imagine that they would be the target of a surreptitious break-in at night and a removal of secret files. They were doing that all over the place to the war resistors and dissenters. But it was beyond their imagination to think that the investigators would, in fact, become investigated. That's what the Citizens Commission did.
Mm. John, what did you do that night?
I was going crazy. I had the getaway car, and that was parked in the parking lot of Swarthmore College, which is only a few miles from Media, Pennsylvania. And the whole procedure was only supposed to take about an hour and a half. But unfortunately, our locksmith was not able to pick the lock and finally had to break the door down. The result of that was that finally Bonnie showed up with the suitcases, but only 2 hours after I had expected her to show up. So for 2 hours, I was having a nervous breakdown.
I can only imagine. So there you are, back at home base again, looking at these files. What was the impact as you started looking at those and realizing the kind of files you had taken and what it proved?
Well, we were fairly certain that we would find significant evidence because of all of the watching that was happening on college campuses, many of which are right in the Philadelphia area. So the agents were busy in surveillance on those campuses, and we thought that probably an office would have some documentation of all of that. And we also knew that the FBI was an enormous bureaucracy and that they probably kept records of everything. So we thought we would be quite lucky if we found what we had a hunch we would find.
I'm speaking with director Joanna Hamilton. Her film 1971 tells the story of eight citizens who broke into an FBI office in Pennsylvania during the height of the anti-war movement and stole files, proving that the FBI had been trampling on constitutional rights of ordinary Americans. Among the eight are my guest, Bonnie Raines, who grew up in West Michigan, and her husband, John Raines. Joanna, how do you show us the ultimate result of that heist for J. Edgar Hoover and for the FBI was?
Well, a severe embarrassment for Hoover, who died a year on. But the ultimate result really is, you know, this process of, through investigative journalists like Betty Metzger and Carl Stern, was the build-up to the Church Committee hearings in 1975, which was the first time that the U.S. Congress looked at the behavior of all the intelligence agencies, including the FBI. And ultimately, that leads to the first set of guidelines governing the FBI's behavior.
And the FBI pulled out the stops to find out who stole those files. You show us that very clearly in the film 1971. Bonnie, was there a point in time when you and John felt, okay, we're not going to be arrested for this. This is all going to happen and we're not going to go to jail?
I don't suppose there was an exact point in time, but we did realize after 2 months or so went by, and we could be quite sure that no one in the group had leaked anything and that we had not left any physical evidence at the office, because we would have known about that very quickly. We began to think that perhaps they were looking at suspects in the wrong place, which was a group of draft resistors in Camden who were arrested breaking into a draft board in Camden, New Jersey. And they really, we began to realize that they felt that they would find the media burglars within that Camden group and not look in other directions.
John, was the reaction to what you and the other seven did, was it what you had hoped for or even more than you had hoped for?
Oh, I think it was more than we had hoped for. We couldn't know that we would have the document that would lead eventually to the revelation of COINTELPRO, the counterintelligence program, which was clearly involved in unconstitutional, in fact, illegal activity. When the Church Committee finally brought to the attention of the American public the violation of the Constitution that was going on by the FBI, that was wonderful. I mean, for the first time, a powerful, powerful agency in Washington, which was doing illegal and unconstitutional activities, was revealed to the American public. And the American public, thank God, were outraged.
Joanna Hamilton, what are you hoping that viewers in 2015 will take away from what you show us, what this group of young people did in 1971?
My hope really in telling the story for the first time is it'll deepen the meaning and impact of the actions taken by these eight, you know, very courageous citizens, in my view. Love them to think hard about the sort of relevance of nonviolent civil disobedience. You know, kind of remind people what it means to be an engaged citizen, what it means to be a patriot in the age of the Patriot Act.
Joanna Hamilton is the director of the documentary film 1971, telling the story of eight people, including our guest Bonnie Raines and her husband John Raines, who took the step of breaking into an FBI office and proving that the FBI had been trampling on the First Amendment rights of ordinary Americans. 1971 will be screening at Cinema Detroit March 27th through April 2nd. And you can order the DVD and learn more about the film by going to the website 1971film.com. Bonnie, John, Joanna, it was a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you
so much for having us.
Thanks.